Welcome to the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast, presented by the Hampton Inn Waco. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast, presented by the Hampton Inn Waco. This episode is another edition of our Lost interview series featuring materials from cassettes within the Texas Sports Hall of Fame's collection. I have transferred these cassettes to MP3 for the podcast. This episode features clips from Dana X Bible talking about his time as Texas A&M's head coach and members of the 1921 Texas A&M football team. The 1921 season gave birth to the Texas A&M 12th man tradition and gave the school their first ever postseason bowl appearance. The Aggies scored an upset win in the 1922 Dixie Classic, and you can hear Lost interview material about that game and the start of the Texas A&M 12th man tradition in episode 60 of the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast, entitled An Oral History of the Texas A&M 12th Man Tradition. This episode will dive into the interviews beyond the scope of the 1922 Dixie Classic and the start of the 12th man tradition, and dive into other stories of Coach Bible's time at Texas A&M, as well as other stories from the 1921 season, which included a loss to LSU under some very unusual circumstances that would never happen in today's game. My name is Jackson Michael. This will be one of my last episodes as host and producer of the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast. The podcast will continue with a different host and producer, and you can always find me at thegamebeforethemoney.com. Dana X Bible became head coach at Texas A&M in 1917. DX Bible led the Aggies to three undefeated seasons in 1917, 1919, and 1927. Yet one of his biggest wins as Texas A&M's head coach came in 1922, when the Aggies defeated Texas in Austin at Clark Field, which to this day remains one of the biggest upsets Texas A&M owns against the Longhorns. A tight game at halftime, the Aggies stood tied with the favored Longhorns, and Coach Bible remembered what he told his team at halftime.
You know, so often, we just don't do a good job between halves. I've always felt like that between halves, we should try to give boys sound advice. I always like to have the boys go with the lineman with the line coach and the ends with the end coach and so on. I generally spent my time with the quarterbacks. And we didn't have, of course, coaches for every position, but we did put them into groups. And I remember so well in that game that between halves, Frank Anderson, you know him as Colonel Anderson, he was helping us at A&M. And he says that it was the best talk that he ever heard me make, was the talk between halves of that game. I remember that I drew a line, and taking it, of course, from the Alamo. And I drew a line there on the ground. Back in those days, we just we didn't go inside. We just generally, we'd have the team off in a corner somewhere. And I drew a line, made a little talk. I remember saying, now those that want to cross that line and go in there to fight in such a way that it'll live, the memory of the way they play is going to be like when they drew the line at the Alamo. That it'll be something that'll always be remembered, the way they play this half. And bless your life, they went out there, and I declare how that team did play, and I don't think that will ever be forgotten.
One Austin newspaper's game summary noted that the Texas A&M line played an exceptional game that day. One of the Texas A&M team members recalled a technique that Aggie lineman Bull Johnson used to fire up his fellow lineman Tiny Wilson early in the game.
We went down to Texas and played them there and beat them. First time they'd ever been beaten on Clark Field. Anyhow, Tiny's afraid he'd hurt somebody, he was so big. And Bo Johnson walked up to him about the first few plays and slapped him. And Tiny got so mad he forgot about hurting anybody. And he just tore that down Texas line to pieces.
DX Bible was one of the many notable coaches in the Southwest Conference during the 1920s. DX Bible spoke about other notable coaches in the Southwest Conference, including one of the most famous names in college football history.
There's another coach that I haven't mentioned that's also in the National Football Hall of Fame, and that's John Heisman. And I doubt if there are many people that know that he was at Rice for a very short time, 2 or 3 years, way back.
I believe he closed out his career.
I believe he did. I think that then he went to New York, and the Heisman Trophy is named after John Heisman, who was the first president of the New York Athletic Club.
Now that's a fact that not very many people know. John Heisman was the head coach at Rice. That's what's so great about these lost interviews. They bring up so many interesting facts about Texas sports history. While Heisman was coaching at Rice, a man named Francis Schmidt was coaching in the Southwest Conference at Arkansas. He later coached at TCU and Ohio State. Here's what Bible remembered about Francis Schmidt in an interview conducted by Wilbur Evans, who also shares a fun memory of Schmidt.
Francis Schmidt, by the way, is a Nebraska man. He played at Nebraska and then came to Arkansas and then to TCU and to Ohio State. And now then, Smitty, I think, had more plays than any man next to Pop Warner. Everyone says that Pop Warner is sort of was the Edison of football. He, I think, diagrammed more plays, had more plays in his possession, diagrammed more plays for coaches than anybody I know. But Smitty, every time I saw him, he had that notebook and the pencil was sharp, and he was diagramming a football play. I think that I just don't know what his collection would be. Football was on Smitty's mind morning, noon, and night.
But I know you've heard the stories told about Francis, who was so excitable, apparently. He was going all out and a high pitch all the time. Of course, in football, you're not close enough, but I remember at basketball games, observing him. You know, it was almost as much fun to watch him as it was to watch the game.
Well, but they tell a story on Francis that in his recruiting, he always wanted big boys. Ballers wanted big boys. And they tell the story that he had a certain door. He had it a certain width and a certain height. And he always had the prospect come through that door into his office. And if he had a little hard time squeezing through that door, why, Smitty is ready to take him.
That's pretty good.
DX Bible led Texas A&M to an undefeated season in 1927. His biggest star was Joel Hunt from Waco. Hunt was inducted into the Texas Sports Hall of Fame in 1958. he scored 19 rushing touchdowns in 1927, a record that wasn't broken until Johnny Manziel topped that total in the 2012 season, according to the Dallas Morning News. Interviewer Wilbur Evans asked DX Bible about Joel Hunt, who later briefly played Major League Baseball for the St. Louis Cardinals.
When Joel went to A&M, did he have a reputation of being a great player at Waco High School? I mean, did you know of his talent, or did he just do really better than you expected?
Well, he just turned out better than we expected. He was a little bit small when he was in high school, and he filled out.
Did Joel do a little more passing for you than your tailbacks had been doing in those earlier years at A&M?
Well, he was just a pretty fine all-around player, Joel was. He was enough of a passer till he was always a threat.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, he excelled as a runner.
How was he as a punter? Didn't he do some punting as well?
Uh-huh, he did. He was especially good, Wilbur, as a quick kicker. And there again, let me say, we did a lot of quick kicking. Always we had that ball back this way. When we had that ball back this way, you could just look out for a kick most any time.
Joel Hunt had a brilliant football career at Texas A&M and was even inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in addition to the Texas Sports Hall of Fame. A great all-around player on offense, defense, and special teams. One of Hunt's biggest games in 1927 was against previously unbeaten SMU. Hunt scored 3 touchdowns, intercepted 4 passes, and averaged 40 yards per punt. His career totals for touchdowns and points scored stood as A&M school records for almost half a century. In speaking about Hunt, Coach Bible also discussed the offensive formations he employed at Texas A&M. It was a version of the single wing using what was called the Minnesota shift, attributed to Dr. Henry L. Williams, who played college football for the great Walter Camp and was a highly successful head coach at the University of Minnesota.
We'd quick kick many times on first down. And, of course, Joel played the tail back. Our formation was a short punt formation and a single wing. Then I spent a summer up with Dr. Williams at Minnesota and got to know quite a little bit about the Minnesota shift. And we did a good deal of shifting right and left, and it ended up with us, after we did our shifting, as a single wing. We didn't do any shifting into the punt formation. We just took it. Mm-hmm. But for the other, the linemen were dropped back, and then they'd shift to the right or to the left. But Joel was always the tailback, and he was always a threat for a wide play, and he was very good on faking. He could fake a pass and run with it. He could fake a kick and run with it. And then from time to time, why, of course, he would cut loose.
When we return, we'll hear memories of the 1921 Texas A&M football season from members of the team on this edition of the Lost Interviews series on the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast, presented by the Hampton Inn Waco.
Hi, this is Hall of Famer Nancy Lieberman, and I listen to the Texas Hall of Fame podcast. And if you're not listening to it, you're missing out.
When you come to Waco, be sure to stay at the Hampton Inn Waco, located just a short distance from the Texas Sports Hall of Fame. You'll start your day off with a delicious complimentary breakfast, and you'll enjoy the Hampton Inn Waco's free Wi-Fi, fitness center, and pool. Next time you bring your team to Waco, make the Hampton Inn Waco your home court on the road. Welcome back to the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast, presented by the Hampton Inn Waco. The 1921 Texas A&M Aggies stand as an important team in school history. Coached by DX Bible, the team lost only one game, which was at LSU. The Aggies won big games over SMU and Baylor that year and tied Texas. Most importantly, that 1921 team upset one of the best teams in the country in the 1922 Dixie Classic, which was a forerunner to the Cotton Bowl. That game also started the legendary Texas A&M 12th man tradition. Again, you can hear firsthand accounts of that game and how the tradition started in episode 60 of the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast, entitled An Oral History of the Texas A&M 12th Man Tradition. We're about to dive even deeper into that 1921 season with interview clips from members of the 1921 team. The team finished 6-1-2 that year. They won their opener against Howard Payne University. And the next two games on the schedule were at SMU and at LSU. Take a listen to this. It would never happen today.
I think one of the interesting games we had is we played SMU and Dallas at the fair.
Yeah.
And we beat SMU on some 14-0. And then we went directly from that game to Baton Rouge, where the temperature was about 107. And we played on a Tuesday, I believe.
Played on
Thursday.
Wednesday, November 11th in Dallas,
and then
got on the train and went to Baton Rouge and played on Saturday.
And then,
and we had the same team. We had the same one substitute for each line place and one full backfield.
Texas A&M played at SMU and won on Wednesday, October 12th, and then got on a train to Baton Rouge and took on LSU on Saturday, October 15th. Can you believe it? The Aggies topped SMU, but fell to LSU 6-0. Texas A&M players remembered a bizarre officiating call in the LSU game that, if true, could have had a significant impact on the final score. This is another thing that would never happen today.
In the first half, one of the craziest chips that anybody ever got. We got driving. I forgot whether it was on a pass or something. We went to the 2-yard line. They called timeout. And they told us we had 2 minutes to play. When they called time back in, blew the whistle, said, half's over. Oh, I've forgotten that.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, that's pretty quick.
No, I don't remember
that.
That
was like 2 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
I knew.
We did.
And
DX came. I never saw DX come out and protest except that time, but he just raised and came.
Not only were the Aggies playing in their second road game in just a handful of days, the heat made things even more difficult. National Weather Service data recorded the high temperature as 90 degrees that day. Chances are it was even warmer on the field, and there's a good possibility that there was high humidity. Teammate Sammy Sanders remembers the heat getting to Texas A&M's Bugs Morris during the game.
Then at the between halves, which started the second half, and Bugs was acting as captain. And they held up an hand to see if he's ready, and Bugs raised his hand and waved it like this and then fell out. It was so hot. They had to get him off the field.
LSU won the game 6-0. Aggie team members remembered that fatigue was an issue on the game's only touchdown.
They made a touchdown.
We were so tired.
On the end run.
End run, yes.
See, they started the end run to the right, and they threw it to the left. And this boy Hives reached out and hit that ball like that, knocked it straight around, and then he took off the other way by himself.
Yeah, they fumbled the ball behind the line.
That's right.
And then they ran around in, and Sammy is a 440-yard dash man. He couldn't even catch him. Now, that's how tired we all were. We were playing 3 days, and Sammy couldn't catch him, and he made the touchdown. But I know I've played the entire game, SMU, an entire game LSU, and I don't believe I've been this tired before or since. And I was when I walked over that LSU field. I just barely could make it.
That game was before the 12th man tradition started, but the school spirit shined when the team returned to College Station on the Pullman train. The Texas A&M cadets showing the type of support for which Aggie fans are famous.
You know, one other human interest story that always impressed me about following that LSU game, we came back to college on the Pullman, and the cadet, the band, and the cadet corps came down to that Pullman, and when they took us off of that Pullman, and they carried us on their shoulders, each football player, up to the military wall and set them down. And if I don't think we ever had anybody in the cadet corps say, well, how come you lose a game? They just talked about this like we'd won the game.
A big highlight of the regular season was a thrilling late come-from-behind victory at Baylor. Sammy Sanders tells about the comeback.
They had a 3-0, and I think they won it about 5 minutes to go.
5 to 10 minutes to go.
And Mac didn't want to call a quarterback sneak because he said he felt like it looked like it put some glory on him. But we insisted that the second time he called it that he carried the ball, that he made the touchdown. Then we kicked off to Baylor. Baylor ran 3 plays. Punted the ball about 65 yards up the field. It was only about 65 yards to me. And I'm going to carry that for a touchdown. Then we kicked off to them. They ran 3 plays. And then punted again. And I got about the same distance and carried it down to the 2-yard line. And about that time, the whistle blew. So it was really a spectacular game.
Another Aggie teammate told of a tactic the Baylor offensive line used on field goal attempts. He also remembered that he had a great game because of the Texas A&M lineman playing next to him.
Baylor team came out. The linemen all had on leather gloves with leather laces cross-stitched on the inside of the hand so they could use them on your, you know, on your face. And then when they weighed that place kick, I remember very well, I thought maybe I had a chance to block it, but discovered they reached across, they had a belt, and it had a catch on each side of it, and they would just reach across each other and grab that belt, and it just, you had to move the whole bunch if you moved it. And so we didn't have a chance to block that place kick. And that's the way they went ahead and made that place kick. I enjoyed that game more than anything, because they left me, I had Tuny Wilson on one side and Captain Murray on the other. They left me alone, and I made more tackles. That's what I enjoyed, tackling. Made more tackles that time than any other time.
Some of the interview material revealed a reason why many high school athletes wanted to attend Texas A&M, and it was an annual event that brought prospects in from all over the state of Texas and had nothing to do with football.
The big thing in those days that stimulated a lot of high school boys and the interest in A&M was the high school track meet that they had. They'd have a high school track meet and the boys would come up and they'd entertain them and talk to them. Then the cadet corps had Yale practice every night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast, presented by the Hampton in Waco. Come visit the Texas Sports Hall of Fame, and when you do, book your stay at the Hampton in Waco.